Good afternoon. May I invite you to turn with me to Colossians and chapter 2 again. Colossians and chapter 2. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 15. And the Bible reads as follows from the ESV. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who haven't seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of an understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed our rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word again. May I ask that we turn to God and ask him to help us see what he wants us to see from the text. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you, O God, that you have left us your word, and that now we can sit round your word. And as we do so, O God, we pray that you may grant that we may behold wondrous things from your word, and that you may attend to me, O God, and also attend to the congregation, and cause, Father, that indeed when we are done, we will all be changed inwardly, O God, from one degree of glory to another. And so cause that our meeting together will be meaningful in every way, because we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I turn you again to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. The young man has got a lot of faith for me to reach the water, so I shall ignore it throughout. Chapter 2, 6 and 7 says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Those two verses indeed have a turning point in what the Apostle Paul is bringing before us to a body of believers who were beset with wrong teachings of the fact that Christ can be known by mere knowledge and maintained by indeed yourself doing so much to your body that you can remain pure. And as he does so, when he comes to them in this letter, although he didn't see them face to face, as he says in verse 1, yet he gets encouraged when he hears of the report of these Colossians from Epaphras. And then when he does so, he brings before them the very eminence and the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed displays also before them his faithful ministry. And as he does so, therefore, when he comes to verse 6 and 7, he is introducing to before us what is known as the hortatory section of the letter of Paul to the Colossians. It is a section where he brings encouragement after encouragement, but also he brings to them the fact that as we live our lives, we should live so knowing that no one can indeed disqualify us on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done only. And that basis is what qualifies us, in fact. And then also he urges his readers to put on the new self and live and walk in the newness of life. And as he does so, it is from this fulcrum where he starts with the word therefore. And we know all that when any paragraph starts with therefore, then you must look from where you have come from and also look where you are going. And where I've come from is on the basis of three things. And the major thing is Jesus Christ, and Christ Jesus, the Lord himself. And therefore, we saw this morning that as he comes to this change set, so to speak, he does so revolving and resolving everything around two words of two letters. The one is "as you received Christ," and the other is "so walk in him." And he's saying because of the fact that we have received Christ, we can therefore so walk in him. And this is where he starts this encouragement for us to live the proper Christian life, that we must walk in him. We must walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that what he brings is a present imperative verb in walk in him, which suggests that indeed this is our very nature, and that indeed this is what carries us on as Christians, having received Christ Jesus. And you notice that both of them have got this passive nature in the fact that our receiving of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus the Lord, is all the work of the fullness of God himself. And therefore, he does this through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, what we saw is that the one we have received is the one who gives us complete salvation, not on the basis that we have received him, but on the basis that it is him we have received, and that indeed all this, all the while, he is the one who has done it. And we come again to another imperative. We come again to this verb. And when you look at it, when it is so modified in those connected with the four words in that phrase, "so walk in him," you notice that it is therefore suggestive of a present participle, something that is continuous as we go on in our Christian life. And again, I must state, just in case I will not remember to state it, it is all the work of God himself, who causes us to walk in him, who causes us therefore to be rooted, to be built up in him, to be established in faith. And the result, effect of all this is abounding in thanksgiving. As we view all this, that he has done all this, we can do no other but praise God to him. Praise God that he causes us to do so. And I want us to look at this text, therefore, and see what it holds for us. The Lord, in his wisdom, has recorded his word for us in here and says, so walk in him from as you received Christ. On the basis that you have received Christ, that's what he's basically saying. So walk in him. Now, therefore, you are able to walk in him. And walk, as I've said, is in the present. It is not in the past. It is not in the future. It is in the present. It is indicative, I say, of an ongoing process. And this word walk is what the Apostle Paul has used several times as he has written many letters. And you will notice that this walking, therefore, is not only is it necessary, but it is indispensable. It is the essential element that we have as Christians to go on in our Christian life. And we go on in our Christian life walking. If I had the time, I would have shown you all the texts where the Apostle Paul is talking about walking. But I want to just to enumerate before you some of them. You may turn to them if you like, if you are as quick as my lips will be. Here in Romans, for instance, chapter 6, verse 4, he says, walk in the newness of life. Romans 8, verse 4 says, walk after the Spirit. Romans 13, he says, walk in honesty. And then he comes to Corinthians, chapter 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, he says, walk by faith. And in Ephesians, he says, walk in good works, in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Walk in wisdom, he says later in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Second John verse 1 to 4, not Paul. Second John verse 1 to 4, he says, walk in truth. But here, what we have in Colossians chapter 2 verse 6, he says, walk in him. And the him he's referring to is the complete Savior, the Christ, the man Jesus, and also the master of our lives, the Lord. It is to walk in Christ Jesus, the Lord. And when you notice all these things that the Apostle Paul speaks of, and even when you just give a cursory consideration of the word walk, you notice that walk always has four elements. It's about motion. It's about being in motion all the time. It's about moving forward and so on. And to the Apostle Paul, is being transformed from one degree of glory to another. But also, walking always has got steady steps. And it's the steady steps of step by step with effort. When you notice a baby coming to learn how to walk, you notice one of the things they do is a steady lifting of the leg and towards improvement of this physique of walking. But also, we do know that walking is always progress towards a goal. When you walk, you walk towards something. You will walk. It's rare that we walk aimlessly. Even when we want to do even wrong things, we walk towards a thing. We walked in here. It's always towards a direction. And I want to say, this is a view that is in this passage here. It is a motion, a steady development of our Christian faith, a steady development of that which we have received, a steady development of what we have in view. And Paul commends the Colossians to this steady progress in their lives, a steady progress towards the goal. And the goal that we must reach is actually in the text, and we shall see, therefore, later what we have here. And that's why the Apostle Paul would say in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, and actually, as we see it, he is stating the direction, verse 10 of chapter 1, Colossians, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. And this comes from as from the day we heard, and that is as from the day we haven't ceased to pray for you and not ceasing to give thanks for you. That's what he says. And maybe let me read it so that it may make sense. From verse 9 of chapter 1. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Walking in the manner worthy of the Lord, according to Paul, means being filled with the knowledge of his will. In other words, living in God's will, in being very well pleasing to him. And this is what we have been called to. And actually, sometimes when Paul has talked about this, he has contrasted and reminded his readers of the former walk they had. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, the apostle Paul would say, "Complete my joy, being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of the same mind. Do not nothing from rivalry." And all this, Philippians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and in sins, in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." He talks about walking and he says, this is where we walked in previously. And he would say later to the Ephesians that we no longer walk as Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. In Philippians chapter 3, again, he would say many walk as enemies of the cross. Now, essentially, walking in Christ and walking in Christ Jesus the Lord is the most logical thing and the elemental result of our being Christians. What happens after you become a Christian is that you begin to live in him. You begin to walk in him. You begin to have a nature that aspires for greater things that relate to your new nature. And in verse 7, the Apostle Paul brings out four particulars that indeed demonstrate and suggest that which begins to happen in us and that which God himself does. And these explain that what walking in him is all about. And this also gives us that it is not something that indeed depends on us and is hard for us, and therefore we begin to wonder, how am I going to live the Christian life? I do remember that when I was young and was thinking of becoming a Christian, I was saying to myself, it is hard to be a Christian. I'd look at my friends, and somehow or other, I became friends with a number of other boys at school who had become Christians earlier than me. And I would look at their lives and would say, you know, they don't seem to make effort. And for me, there was a time when I tried to pretend to be a Christian, and I found it extremely hard. I couldn't understand. And it is only when I became a Christian that I realized it's not about all my effort. It's not about what I need to do. And a Christian has no excuse for failing to live the Christian life. You know why? It is because we receive Christ Jesus the Lord and consider who he is. And when you think about the very aspect of who he is in past what he did to come here to achieve for us and what he's doing for us in glory, you notice there is nothing here on earth that can make that Christian life difficult, therefore. But here is what the text has for us, that our walking in him has got four particulars. And the first one is this, and it means this: to walk with Christ Jesus the Lord. It means being rooted in him. It means being rooted in Christ Jesus the Lord. And again, I want you to notice the passive nature of the words as they come out here. And I want you to notice that this being rooted, as it comes out, it is something that is done for us. And you have immediately the picture of a tree, so to speak. But more than that, a picture of roots. Now, we all know that roots have got four basic functions. The basic functions of roots are absorption of water and nutrients to give life to that which we see outwardly, the trunks, the branches and leaves and the flowers and so on. And also, the second function of a plant or the roots are to anchor the tree, the plant, to the ground. And also, you know that the storage of nutrients is also in the roots. But also in the roots, they do ensure reproduction. And if there's a biology teacher here and asks me to give the functions of roots, that biology teacher would have given me 100% with this answer that I've given. And if you don't believe me, ask Mrs. Filakat. I'm correct. But friends, this picture suggests firmly rooted, and that's why the NIV has the word firmly rooted in Christ Jesus the Lord. You know, when you genuinely come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you have indeed believed in him, and you hear of words like this, that you are rooted in him, you begin to see that you don't need to make an effort after all. Now, I don't want you to think that this suggests, therefore, that our Christian life is passive. But it suggests that the very origin of that which we exercise ourselves in is not dependent on us, but rather that we have, therefore, the energies to exhibit the fact that we are rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and firmly rooted, for that matter, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he is talking about, therefore, is the fact that there is where we have come from, but we have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, and hence we have everything that is necessary for life and living. We have got everything that is necessary to face the world squarely, and that comes from the root where our very salvation comes from. And speaking about plants and so on, using this analogy, you know that a strong plant, a strong tree, is because it has got strong roots. Those who do planting of any plant of any kind, you know that you always pay particular attention to the roots. And when the roots are affected, even the plant gets affected. And what you see outwardly, therefore, the beauty of the leaves, the flowers, the strength of the stem and the trunks and so on, come from the strength of the roots, and also that the roots are deep inside. And our Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to know this when he gave that parable of the sower in Matthew 19. You know about it? It was only the roots, it was only the plant that had roots indeed into the soil that was able to stand. Dear friends, the response of the Colossians to the gospel that encouraged Paul was because they believed and were strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for endurance and patience with joy. That was the prayer that the Apostle Paul gave to the Lord concerning the Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 11. He said, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father." Friends, our salvation is safe and secure, and we have no danger of falling from grace because our roots are in Christ, prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ himself, who is the God-man, God himself, who is our master. It is from there that we have our lives, both individually and also corporately as a church. Friends, we are safe and secure, and therefore, because our source of nutrients is Jesus Christ, friends, our source of Christian and spiritual nutrient can never run dry. We cannot wither and fail to draw nutrients from him, and he will forever provide nutrients for us. Therefore, walk in him means being rooted in him, being in him who provides for us the very life, who provides for us that sustenance, who provides for us the very being that we need to live our Christian life. But also notice another passive statement that we have here. To walk with Christ Jesus the Lord means being built up in him. Being built up in him. And you notice that what we have there, here again, is both in terms of ourselves as individuals, but also corporately together as a church. We are being built up. And a great example is what the Apostle Paul begins to do for us in Ephesians and chapter 4. And all the while, you notice that in Ephesians chapter 4, it's like he had in view what he had just said when you consider the whole of chapter 4, but particularly the first part of chapter 4. Let me just read a few texts from chapter 4 of Ephesians. "Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another," and he goes on and on. And he says, "And one God and God of all, who is over all, through all, in him. But grace has been given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." And when he does so, when he says grace has been given us, it's grace for the measure of building us up in the knowledge of the Son. And so he says, "And he gave the apostles, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That is what we are being built to. You think for a moment that you have the necessary element, yourself, to mature yourself to the full stature of the fullness of Christ. You will notice that you do not have. And the picture here, again with the words used, is that Jesus Christ himself is doing this. We are rooted, but we are also being built up to the full measure of the stature of Christ. And that full measure of the stature of Christ, it is only Christ himself who must come with the building blocks to indeed build us. And it is Christ himself who must bring for us the very nature of the building blocks in their strength and in their measure and in their stature. And he would say, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And that's what he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. But also, notice this, that he's building us up from a background. From a background where, in verse 21 of Colossians chapter 1, he says, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in the body, reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Friends, we should not hold back in letting God do his work in us as individuals, but also in us as a church. And don't be the one who will be subtracting from that which God is doing as he builds this church, and in particular, as he builds this local church, Kawara Baptist Church. And he does so when he builds us together through each one of us as individuals. Friends, the end result is also Godward, as we shall see later. But the building block that we have is Jesus Christ himself. He is the building block. Why? It is because it is him that we received, and it is in him that we walk, and walking in him means being rooted and also being built up in him, not in any other, but being built up in him. Friends, when the building blocks are similar in any building, you will begin to see that indeed the buildings are similar in outlook. And that's why Christians are similar in outlook also. We must be the same in character. We must be those that have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And this is what we must exhibit, because we are built up together in him. Friends, the church can have the character. A local church like this one can have the character of being Christ-like in every way. It can, because we are built up together in him. But sadly, to walk in Christ Jesus, we have seen that it means being rooted, being built up, but also it means being established in the faith. Being established in the faith. And I'm sure you notice that indeed all these words that we have here are so full and so packed with meaning. And we are not unbundling them. We're just skimming through. And being established in the faith, and when you include just as you were taught, takes us to where this letter starts from. It starts from the fact that the gospel they received is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the preeminent one. And also that the Apostle Paul, his thanksgiving was about what he heard about them, because of the fact that they were able to display that there were a people with a hope laid up for them. And indeed, they were living a sense, and also the fact that they were loving all the saints. That's what they are. The Apostle Paul says. And the common faith that they had was the one that was propelling them, so to speak. The faith was indeed that which was giving them common credence, but also giving them common life. And indeed, therefore, we can say being built up in the faith. He is saying being built up in your faith. In your faith. The faith that you have come to indeed express before God and before man. And you have lived it fully expressive of that which you have inwardly, and fully expressive of that which you want all people to see. And it is this, that which they had heard. It is this that with which they were taught. And it is this with which that they lived their lives. Friends, they knew what to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew whom they had believed in. And they were taught these things. And therefore they set their foot and everything around them in the things that indeed were coming before them as the doctrines of the faith that they were indeed not only imbibing, but also living out in practical ways. And so as they received Christ Jesus the Lord, so were established in the faith, just as they were taught. Friends, the Christian life and growth in faith is about knowing what you are taught. And knowing what you are taught from the Bible. And the measure of any man is a measure of what he knows of Holy Writ. What you know of God's Word. That's the measure of any man. And the measure of any woman is what she knows of God's Word. Just in case you think when I say man, I'm not including you. The measure of a Christian is the measure with which he is able to know God. He's able to know God's will. He's able to know what God's demands are upon his life. And your measure as to whether you have grown in faith and as to whether you are indeed built up in the Lord, it is to know what you know about God through his word. Friend, God's word is central, and he's been gracious to us that he leaves us his word. And the measure of any church, it's not so much how much you go out. It is how much you know of God's word. Because as you read it, you will know that you need to go out. The measure of any Christian service is the measure of a service that comes from the knowledge of God that you have based on his word. And nothing else. Dear friends, you notice here that indeed we are built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught. And he makes it plural. This phrase, as you were taught, is plural. And therefore, I say again, we will know whether you are a Christian or not, if after time we're able to know and see that indeed you are increasing in the knowledge of God's word. Not being tossed from this and that by every wind of doctrine. And this is what the apostle had in view. I want to read it again from verse 3 up to verse 8. Just listen. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 1 of Colossians. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learnt it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul speaks about their love in the Spirit, but listen, he connects it with their faith and actually being established in the faith. He connects it with the gospel work they do and the growth of the gospel in all the world, but also in the fact that indeed, because of them, the gospel is indeed growing, and so on and so forth, and goes on and on. And he says, all this growing in love in the Spirit is also connected to their understanding together of the grace of God in truth. And what is he saying? You're knowing more and more of God. And you're knowing more and more of God is about knowing more and more of God's word. And this knowing more and more of God's word is translating itself into practical things. Practical issues to do with the gospel, practical issues to do with the love that you have in your midst, but also the love that you have for the brethren. Friend, you know whether somebody is growing and is established in the faith with a few practical things that happen around him, particularly in the way he relates to believers. Anybody who is not exhibiting love, friends, he is not established in faith. Anybody who is indifferent to the things that are happening in his life around him, especially in the body of Christ, is not growing in grace. He's not established in the faith. Life in the faith is about banding together. It's about expressing love to one another. And it's about doing some of these things. Friends, it is with embarrassment that I say that yesterday there was a wedding here. Hope Porokoso was getting married. Hope Porokoso. Do you know her? Member of the church. And all of us were not there. God bless you if you had good reasons to stay away. But if you didn't even know that one with whom you are built up together in faith and you are established together with her and you are being taught together with her, something indeed of a milestone was happening in her life and you paid no attention, friend, pause and ask, are these things very real to you in your life? Because the Apostle Paul brings the corporate nature of our lives together, because he says, just as you were taught, not you an individual, you Colossae as a church, a body of believers, being established together in the faith. Friends, walking in Christ means being rooted, being built up, being established in the faith as you were taught. But dear friends, look at what happens also practically. The end result of all this, it is abounding in thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul would say, abounding in thanksgiving. To walk with Christ Jesus the Lord means overflowing with great, great gratitude, abounding in thanksgiving. And that the word abounding that he uses here is from a root that has the meaning of without measure. It is without measure, abounding continuously, overflowing, and knowing that indeed God has done good for me. And dear friends, let's just retrace backwards and see the picture that he has here that is presented before us. You know, I can almost imagine a building coming up here. It has got foundations firmly indeed established. And then it is built up with proper building blocks. This building, built up. And then it is certified, fit for habitation. You know, when you have built a building, before you go and live there, you must get a certificate of occupancy. Many people don't know that. That certificate of occupancy to say that it is fit to be lived in. And that's the analogy that I want to use here. That we've got a building founded in the Lord, built up with the building blocks of the Lord, and indeed confirmed fit. And that is a certification of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ himself, established in the faith as it becomes evident before us. And dear friends, when you have thus, therefore, that all this is done by Christ Jesus the Lord, the second person of the Godhead, the God eternal, that is the one who has done all this, him who is the image of the invisible God, him in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, him is the one who does this. Your response, dear friend, will be a response of great gratitude. See how God has attended to you, to save you. See how God wants you to live your life. And see how God indeed multiplies before you resources. And indeed he says, "This I have done." Friends, how would you respond to all this? When you see a building coming up and it's properly founded, properly built, and it's beautiful and certified fit, and when you look at it, and if it is your house, you say, "This indeed, if it's so beautiful and whatever you've been wanting, you say, indeed, this is what I've wanted. Ah, that building is you. And that building is Kawara Baptist Church. As he builds us up together, oh, may we indeed express our great gratitude to him, to God himself." Listen to some of our friends, some Christians, what they have said. Let me read for you Thomas Merton, what he says in response to what God has done, and in particular, when he considered this very text. He says this: "Gratitude is therefore the heart of the solitary life that sees the measure of what God has done, as it is the heart of the Christian life." We have our own modern Christian hedonist, John Piper, who would say, "Gratitude is a virtue most worthy of our cultivation." Indeed, all the while the Christian life is about gratitude, and that gratitude must be planted, watered, dressed, and harvested to be shown in real life. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in speaking about gratitude because of what God has done, he says, "Here is a standing reason for thanksgiving. Although we may not always be healthy, nor always prosperous, yet God is always good, and therefore there is always a sufficient argument for giving thanks unto Jehovah, that he is good God, essentially, that he cannot be otherwise than good and be a fountain out of which the richest praises should perpetually flow." Another man would say the constant tenor and spirit of our lives should be adoring gratitude, love, reverence, and thanksgiving to the Most High. And therefore, the Christian life, I wanted to read these things for you, for us to begin to relate to proper flesh and blood that is near us, and for us to see that indeed the very tenor, as he would say, is about the tenor of our life is about gratitude. Not just remembering to give thanks when you see food before you, and remembering, "Oh, I must now eat, and this is food." But here, friend, the spiritual food to you is constant, is perpetual. It is yours for the taking. Oh, the world, wherever you are rooted in Christ. Wherever you are being built up. And whatever you are doing, you are being established. Dear friend, won't you want to respond to God in great thanksgiving? The Apostle Paul would say, abounding in thanksgiving. And dear friends, therefore, with all these put together, and when you see these things, doesn't that encourage you to love and good works? Won't you want others to know about your Christian experience? Won't you want others to know that indeed these imperatives that we have are imperatives that are there, not for the taking, but they are indeed assumed to be present. And not only assumed, but they actually are true. Won't you want therefore to respond and say, I will give the God the very best of my heart. I will give God the very all of all that I have. If I was to draw anything, I must draw anything towards God. Abounding in thanksgiving. But notice, friends, it is abounding in thanksgiving that is perpetual. Friends, Hebrews 13, verse 15 would say, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Are you going to give thanks to his name? It is his name you have received. Does these things that we have talked about, do they display the characteristic of your life? That you are indeed rooted, that you are built up, and that you are established in the faith? And these things that have been taught you, don't they cause you to bring a sacrifice of praise to God? This afternoon, as we sit together, what is your sacrifice of praise to God? Is it a sacrifice of gathering together with the other saints in a service such as this one to just sing together with the others? And you go out, and immediately out you walk that door. It is no longer a sacrifice of praise. No longer the gratitude of thanksgiving. And no longer about receiving Christ, but about people knowing who you are, all those around. And you take pride in people knowing who you are. May you take pride in people knowing that you walk in him. And that indeed these things that we have talked about here are the essential elements that make you who you are. And that Jesus Christ himself is the one that you walk with. That is, you live your life on a daily basis. It is because of Christ Jesus the Lord. And that as you walk, it is in the same way as you received him. And indeed, that your life generally, as it sees what God himself has done, is a life of abounding in thanksgiving, of offering a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise from the very heart that has indeed received Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of praise that indeed follows through real life and lives in love to the brethren. Goes on to live in service to God. This is where all the practical aspects of our Christian lives come from. It is not about abstract effort. Go on and do your abstract effort. You will notice that you will fail. But our Christian life is an effort that has indeed the source of its nutrients in the root of Christ Jesus the Lord. That has being built up in Christ Jesus the Lord. That it has been established in the faith in Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh friends, if thus be the description of our entire life as individuals and cooperated together as a body of believers, friends, we will be those that will do great exploits for the Lord. Because this is where we draw our strength from, and this is where we draw our arsenals for the work of the gospel. If you are struggling to rekindle your Christian life, just think of who you have received. And just indeed put yourself to walking in Christ. Everything else just falls in place like ducks in a row. And you just see that you are following. Have you seen the ducks, the way they walk? Especially ducks which has got chicks. Do you call the small ducks chicks? Chicks, whatever you call them. They are chicks. Yeah? Ducklets. Ducklings. And you notice, you know, they walk in a row following the mother. And when she turns, they also turn. They just follow. That's the Christian life. The Christian life is about follow the leader, Jesus Christ. And that is what we're called to, is to follow the leader. Why? He is Christ Jesus, the Lord. May he bless you.